I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well, the allegations by General Kelly are falling apart. Ridiculous, absolute, ridiculous, crazy lies. But the Vice President of the United States of America went with it. This idea that Trump praised Adolf Hitler. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it very, very much. So just to catch you up, and I opened the show with this today, but it obviously is a huge story. It's a big story. But two things before I get there. Number one, first of all, mark your calendar for November 13th. I can't tell you why just yet, but trust me, you want to mark your calendar for November 13th. Secondly, this is our happy hour brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, New Jersey's premier full service resort, conference center, and top beach destination wedding venue. Visit GrandHotelCapeMay.com for more information. All right? Very good. Now, this guy, this General Kelly guy comes out and says, Trump praised Hitler and didn't pay for a funeral for this woman. All right? That's basically the crux of this hit piece that was done. Now, there's a couple updates on this since I got on the air at 3 o'clock. First of all, I want to play for you what the look, I don't want to play this because I can't stand the fact that Vice President Kamala Harris said this. But I think it is so important that you hear the desperation and how pathetic it is that the sitting Vice President of the United States of America would come out there and suggest that Donald, based on hearsay, just complete and utter hearsay rumor, that Donald Trump would praise Adolf Hitler. This is a new low in our politics. It's honestly a new low in our politics. The fact that the Vice President of the United States would come out and say something like this. And as I've said to you before, two assassination attempts, and there is no moral equivalency between saying somebody is lazy or somebody is cognitively declined and saying that they are Adolf Hitler. And what that is that is code for people to stop Adolf Hitler. Because you know what? History looks back on people like Valkyrie, who tried to kill Hitler, and all the other people that there were multiple attempts to kill Hitler. There were and history obviously rightly so looks back on those people as heroes who tried to stop the evil of Adolf Hitler. And history is right to say that those men were heroes to do so. And that's what the message is being sent. Some lunatic's going to hear this and think, I got to stop Trump because he's Hitler. It's not an accident. I'm telling you, it's not an accident. These people say this stuff. They know. And you know me, I'm not one of those people that has a problem with political rhetoric. We have had nasty political rhetoric since the founding of the Republic. The founding fathers used to get drunk in bar fights in Philadelphia. I'm not talking about that. But there is a big difference between saying even stupid things like putting your opponent in the crosshairs and all that other stuff. I never get riled up about that stuff. It's stupid. But when you say your opponent is Hitler, that's a clear message to somebody. You got to be Captain America and take him out. You got to stop him. And there are people out there who think that and think that that's the right thing to do, that that's the morally right thing to do in this moment in time. Because like I've said before, the old question is always, you know, if you can go back in time and you could stop Hitler, would you? And of course, most people say yes. And then you get into the philosophical conversations about, well, then what if this change in history? And that, and it's fun in philosophy 101. It's great. Right. But in real life, we don't have the ability to go back in time like this. But certainly somebody, if you were to say to them, hey, if you had had the chance in 1930 to be alone in a room with Adolf Hitler and you could have killed him, would you have done it? Most people would say, yeah, of course. Well, that's the message you're sending when you say that Trump is Hitler. It's the same message. And somebody out there thinks that I've got an obligation to take this guy out. I've got to stop him. And it's so wrong. It's beyond. And there is no. And this is why I cannot stand when people say, Both sides need to tone down their rhetoric. Oh, give me a freaking break. Both sides do not need to tone down their rhetoric. There's one side, and it's the left, who's equating Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. And we have not done that to anybody. Saying that Kamala Harris is a communist is not the same thing as saying that she's a genocidal maniac. Saying that she's a Marxist, Karl Marx was a philosopher, just so you understand, is a lot different than saying that she's Stalin. They say Trump is Stalin, which is amazing because they've said now he's Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin. So John Kelly comes over and says Trump said these things. There's no evidence of it, none whatsoever. Even Mark Esper, who is a defense secretary who doesn't like Donald Trump, came out and also said this. And I'll read this to you if I can find this here. Where is this now? Where is that, Matt? Is it audio of that? Oh, here we go. Yeah,
oh, I have audio. Of it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Mark Esper on CNN, former defense secretary. No fan of Donald Trump. He has been incredibly critical of Donald Trump. This is a guy who also thinks Donald Trump should not be president of the United States. But even he said that what Kelly is alleging here is complete and utter BS. Take a listen.
Were there ever any incidents, Secretary, that you have not previously spoken about in which you heard Donald Trump use similar language or refer to American military personnel in a derogatory fashion?
No, not along the lines that John Kelly and others have outlined.
Were there ever any?
No, the answer is no, he hasn't. There's the other part of this hit piece, which is not getting as much attention, obviously, is this idea that Trump was going to pay for the funeral for Vanessa Guillen, who was in the military. And in Jeffrey Goldberg's hit piece, he basically stiffs the family and screams something like $60,000 for a funeral. You wouldn't even spend that on a Mexican or something along those lines, right? It's just disgraceful stuff. A family attorney and the sister of slain Texas soldier Vanessa Guillen both dismissed a report in The Atlantic on Tuesday alleging that former President Donald Trump refused to pay for the Army specialist's funeral and disparaged her ethnicity. The piece, written by the magazine's editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg, claims Trump fumed about a $60,000 bill he received from Guillen's family for her funeral during a December 2020 Oval Office meeting, allegedly telling aides, "It doesn't cost $60,000 to bury an effing Mexican. Don't pay it." Trump ordered his then chief of staff, Mark Meadows, after previously telling the, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, the Guillen family he would assist with Vanessa's funeral expenses, according to the hit piece by this slime bag, Jeffrey Goldberg. Myra Guillen, Vanessa's sister, slammed the Atlantic report as hurtful and disrespectful and indicated that the former president treated her family with respect in the aftermath of her sister's brutal killing. "Wow," she wrote on X in response to Goldberg's reporting, "I don't appreciate how you were exploiting my sister's death for politics, hurtful and disrespectful to the important changes she made for service members. President Donald Trump did nothing but show respect to my family and Vanessa. In fact, I voted for President Trump today." Natalie Quammen, an attorney for the family, accused the Atlantic editor of lying in the piece. So once again, you know, they come at Trump and it blows up in their freaking faces and good. And this is the kind of stuff, honestly, this is the kind of stuff that makes people that don't love Trump go, "You know what? F it. I'm voting for the guy. This is BS. What they're doing to this guy, between all the court stuff, all the court cases, I just spent, you know, what, 20 minutes talking to Andy McCarthy about all the litigation, all the attempts to go after him, and then this crap going after this. And then here's what the vice president of the United States of America, Kamala Harris, had the audacity to say today at the White House with the seal of the vice president of the United States in front of her. Take a listen to this.
"Learned that Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president..."
He didn't confirm anything. He's alleging something. There's a difference, okay? That's not a confirmation. That's an allegation. It's not a confirmation, you imbecile. Okay? A confirmation is proving something. You can't prove something when you make an allegation. Oh, that frustrates me. You know why? Because that's a deliberate misuse of that word. Sorry, go ahead.
He said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had. Donald Trump said that because he does not want a military that is loyal to the United States Constitution. He wants a military that is loyal to him. He wants a military who will be loyal to him personally, one that will obey his orders even when he tells them to break the law or abandon their oath to the Constitution of the United States.
Stop it right there, Matt. Thank you. I have a question for this idiot that's speaking right now. Why didn't Trump do that then? Why didn't he do it when he was commander in chief? Why didn't he had the military? Why didn't he? Do you know there's not one? Think about this now. There's not one single member of the military who has come out and said that after January 6th, Trump ordered them to keep him in power, or demanded that they go arrest Biden or kill Biden or surround the White House. What you realize not one? This isn't a situation where Trump tried and all the generals said no. And he turned around and was like, I wish I had generals like Hitler had who would just listen to me. There's not a single person who has ever come forward and said Donald Trump tried to do anything to stay in the White House. Not one. And don't twist this, you lefties, because January 6th is not about keeping Trump in the White House. Well, January 6th, apart from the riot, I'm not talking about the riot. I'm talking about the efforts under the Electoral Count Act of 1872, which has since been amended since then. The Electoral Count Act, whatever the hell the year was, says that the Congress has the ability to reject the results of the Electoral College and send it back to the states. Something that Democrats like Jamie Raskin have tried to do in the past to George W. Bush and to Donald Trump. That is not the same thing as staying in power. That is following the law as it's written, as it was written on January 6, 2021, which empowered the Congress to reject the results of the Electoral College, to send it back to the states for certification or recertification, depending on the scenario. That was perfectly legal. There is nothing illegal about that. That is not somebody in a Chewbacca costume walking through the Capitol building, or grandma taking a bathroom break, or a guy breaking a window. Those things have nothing to do with the Electoral Count Act. Secondly, Donald Trump wanting members of Congress to reject the electoral results is not illegal. It's not an insurrection. It is not unconstitutional. It was literally what the law allowed them to do. He didn't have the ability to do it, but they did. He wanted them to do it. Well, guess what? Presidents advocate for things all of the time. Citizens advocate for things, and Donald Trump, either in his capacity as president or as a guy who's a United States citizen, or both, has the right to say what he wants Congress to do. It doesn't mean they have to listen to him. He's not a king. We have a separate, hard to believe, but we have two separate branches of government here we're talking about, the executive and the legislative branch. He can't order Congress to do something. He wanted them to do it, and they didn't do it. But then when that happened and they certified the election results for Joe Biden, what did Donald Trump do? Did he do anything to try to stay in power? No. There's not one example, not one piece of evidence you can point to. All you Trump haters out there can't point to one single thing Donald Trump tried to do to stay in power. And do not say January 6th, because that January 6th day, there's nothing Donald Trump did that day to try to stay in power. Because understand, even if they had taken Mike Pence out and they were able to kill Mike Pence, the little other fantasy of the left, because some jackass had a gallows on the lawn. Even if they did that, how does that keep Trump in power? How does rejecting the Electoral College results keep Trump in power? There's no guarantee the states would have come up with something different and gone with Trump's electors. They might have sent the results right back to Congress. There's nothing on January 6th, that would have kept Trump in power. Nothing. He could have personally killed Mike Pence. It wouldn't have made him president. It is such a ridiculous fantasy. It is such a twisting of our Constitution. It's such a twisting of the Republic and such a twisting of the Electoral Count Act that it is beneath all of our intelligence. But let's go with that for a second. This big fantasy that this mob was going to somehow keep him in office. How is this mob going to keep Donald Trump in office? Even if they had reached the Speaker's office and killed Pelosi and killed Pence and killed how does that keep Trump in power? Nobody's ever been able to answer that question. You know why? Because there is no answer to that question, because it could not happen. But Trump theoretically could have kept himself in power if he had chosen at that moment, or any moment prior to when he was no longer the National Command Authority, which would have been 12:01 p.m. on January 21st, 2021, to keep himself in power. He commanded the military. He's a commander in chief. Why didn't he do it? Did he just not cross his mind? He didn't know all the power he had? Is that it? He didn't know until he landed at Palm Beach Airport that he could have ordered the military to keep him in power? He didn't know that? Somebody told him that as you exited the plane. They were like, oh, too bad you're just a private citizen now. You know, because 20 minutes ago, you could have ordered an airstrike on the Capitol. It is so beyond stupid that we are even having these conversations. It's like we're all living in this in the world the left creates for us with these fantasies, these ridiculous notions by people that I guess have too much time on their hands to watch really bad movies. I don't know. But these scenarios are so ridiculous that there's probably a reason why this movie has not been made yet, because it's so outlandishly stupid. The plot is so thin. But that's what Kamala Harris is alleging in her comments there, that Donald Trump would have generals loyal to him. Well, theoretically, he had generals loyal to him. The Constitution's pretty clear here. The president's the commander in chief. And up until the moment that he wasn't, those generals have to be loyal to him. And if he orders them to do something that they believe is against the law, they're not supposed to follow it. But that's to be adjudicated on another day. You have to follow what the president says. In fact, there's certain instances where if you don't, even because you don't believe it's right, that's a court martial for you. In some cases, it's the death penalty for you. And I got news for you. You know, if the president decides to launch a nuclear strike, and you're the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and you don't believe it's the right call, and you say no, you're going to prison. Right. You're going to prison. Because the system is set up in a way that if the president orders a nuclear strike, you don't have time to debate, and you don't have the right to debate him, because the law gives him and only him the right to launch a nuclear strike. There's no committee. There's no vote. There's no act of Congress. There's no okay by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The other generals don't get on the phone and go, I agree, 2/3 agree. Nope, just him. And if you stand in the way, that's a court-martial and potentially the death sentence. And there's a reason for that, because if we have to strike back, you can't have bureaucrats getting in the way and going, I don't morally agree with the president's decision here. Like it or don't like it, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I don't make the rules. I'm just telling you the way the rules are. So all Donald Trump did was leave. And for that, they turn around and say the guy's Hitler. It's just it really insults the republic, the foundation of our republic, that the vice president of the United States of America would come out and say this crap based on hearsay, rumor, and innuendo, based on one person's recollection of conversations that she has no idea if those conversations took place. And she comes out and says it like it's an actual fact. Well, Mark Kelly confirmed, or whatever the hell his name is, General Kelly confirmed this. Ridiculous. I have this here now. Lauren Powell, okay, this is Matt just sent me this. Lauren Powell Jobs, Steve Jobs' widow, owns The Atlantic. She's also friends with Kamala Harris and a big-time campaign donor. She's been giving money to Harris since 2003 when she was running for San Francisco DA. Also, Jeffrey Goldberg was the same guy who, in September of 2020, baselessly claimed that Trump called dead U.S. soldiers suckers and losers. They're pulling the same stunt from the last election cycle. Yeah, Matt DeSantis, it's like the greatest. It's like the greatest hits. They're replaying the crappy Halloween movies that nobody wanted to see in 2016. You know what I mean? That's what it's like. It's like 2 a.m. You're turning on is the, you know, Killer Clowns from Outer Space is on. Well, actually, that's kind of a cult classic, but I pick one. I don't know. How about Halloween 67?
67 is a good one.
Is that a good one?
66, yeah, 66 is maybe not so great. And 68 is when the franchise really fell off.
Yeah, is 66 the one where Michael Myers his head comes off, but then somehow it reattaches to his body, and he and Jamie Lee Curtis kills him again, but somehow he winds up driving a truck? Is that the one?
Yeah, I think that's Halloween 44, actually.
Yeah, that might be Halloween 44. It's hard. Is that the one with Ice Cube?
Yes,
Cool
yes,
J?
Yes, that... yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were both in one. Weren't they both in those movies, Ice Cube and LL Cool J, I think? Or
wait, were they actually?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if you're being sarcastic. I genuinely don't know.
Now I got to look up. Somebody on social media will tell us for sure. There's so many Halloweens that have been made. I think every actor in Hollywood has been in one at one point or another, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I mean?
They're all so bad, too.
But the first one was great. And you know what else is good, too? Halloween 3 is good, too. No, is that the one with the witch? No, that's not good. Nah, just Halloween's good. Yeah, just that one, the first one. With Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers. And yeah, that was good. But then they've remade it too many times, I think. And everybody's kind of sick of it now.
Ice Cube was not in Halloween. You were thinking of Busta Rhymes. He was in Halloween Resurrection.
He's not thinking of Busta Rhymes.
Ice Cube wasn't, but Busta Rhymes was.
Ice Cube. Wait, maybe it was Ice-T? Is that a different guy? Yeah, Ice-T might have been in Halloween. Busta was in which one?
He was in Halloween Resurrection that came out in 2002. Busta Rhymes was.
And Ice Cube was not in Halloween? Cube was in a horror movie,
see,
I'm telling you.
He was not in any of the Halloween movies.
You see, now you're wrong. Ice Cube was in Halloween Resurrection in 2002.
Was he? I just looked at the whole cast and his name didn't pop up at all, but Busta Rhymes did.
Busta Rhymes did?
Yeah.
Maybe he was in Halloween H2O. Oh, that's what it was. Halloween H2O is different from Halloween Resurrection, isn't it? I can't keep track of all this. All I know is that my blood pressure is going down, which is good, with the talk of all these bad horror movies. You know what I love about the 80s horror movies, too? They're mostly just like really hot chicks with big, you know, well endowed, just running around camps with a guy chasing them with a knife. Like those were good classic Halloween movies. Am I right?
Keep it simple. 100%. Yeah. Oh, LL Cool J was in H2O. Halloween H2O.
That's what I meant. LL Cool J. That's what I meant. Thank you. I meant him. That's what I meant.
Well, maybe Ice Cube will be in the next one.
By the way, November 13th, hold your calendar. It has nothing to do with either Ice Cube, LL Cool J, Busta Rhymes, Flava Flav, or anybody else, but I would hold your calendar for November 13th. All right? Please do that. It's very, very important. Let's go to Joe in Columbus. He wants to weigh in. Joe, do you want to talk about Halloween movies or this?
Rich, I'll take a half-decent B-grade actress any day of the week.
Am I
just
right?
Just for the reason you said. Absolutely. You can get them to do anything. Rich, I think it would be novel to have provisions or regulations in there for political slander. This Hitler thing, however, an accusation, innuendo, as you said, however innocuous, I'm concerned it's gaining traction because it hit close to home today in the form of what I refer to as my own barbershop. My financial analyst and consultant, he represents a pretty good cross-section of the center of the state, Mercer County, Monmouth County, Burlington County, and he's good. He deals only with fund managers. He's top of the line. And he called me up today and said, Joe, I got to tell you this. I had these longtime clients, longtime Republicans, who flat out, they struck up the conversation like he always lets it come to him, that told him, we are voting for Kamala because we are afraid that Trump, and this is a spinoff of the Hitler accusation, we're afraid that Trump's going to put his political opponents in jail. He handles it very smoothly. The guy is sharp as a tack. He keeps his faculties to him. And he just really innocently looked at them and said, guys, aren't, and he had their portfolio in on his desk. He says, guys, aren't you concerned about this? This guy's going to build this thing. And, you know, it just, and he finally looked at them and told them, he says, if he had a chance to put somebody in jail, Hillary should have been there by now. Schumer should have been there by now for threatening the Supreme Court. Schiff should have been put in there for now for lying in, you know, in Congress.
Look, Joe, the bottom line is this. Dictators don't leave. They don't. They don't leave.
True.
No, there's, name me a dictator who ever gave up power willingly. Name one.
You can't. You absolutely can't.
That's but what literally the defining characteristic of a dictator is that you do not give up power. That's why we've never had one in this country, because all of our presidents have willingly left office. We've never had a situation where a president refused to leave office, and that includes the 45th president of the United States. He left.
And, Rich, on the lines of the characteristics you described, he should have done away with his political opponents by now. And people just can't.
Well, what he should have done on January 7th, based on these lunatics, was just have Joe Biden arrested and Pelosi arrested and, you know, have the military surround the White House and never leave. And I don't change the locks. I don't know. Get McCausland Lock over there, change the locks. I don't know. But I mean, but none of those things happened. It's just frustrating.
Well, yes.
Joe, I got to run. But thank you for the call, though. I appreciate it very much, as always. And I want to go. Let's see. Thank you for the call, as I appreciate it. 855-839-1210. I have a problem when people are not honest. And you remember, I thought I was very angry on January 7th. I was very angry because I did not like the riot that took place. I was angry. I knew that they were going to weaponize it. I knew they were going to weaponize it against the American people. I didn't like people smashing windows. It was not an insurrection. They could not overthrow the United States of America. They could not overthrow the government. None of those things. And leaving aside all the people who never should have been arrested because you're trespassing, I don't know how you trespass in the people's house, quite frankly, but the people that committed property damage that day or any personal physical assault or anything like that, leaving those people out of it, you can't overthrow this government. There was no way to overthrow the government. There's no mechanism by which you could have overthrown the government on January 6th. There just wasn't. And that part of the story, every time this comes up, I get frustrated by this because nobody has ever been able to explain how you could have pulled this off. And it's the same crap they're doing now, saying that Trump's going to, even if he loses, somehow instill himself as president. I mean, it's these ideas are so ludicrous. Why hasn't, with all these egotistical people who have been president of the United States, none of them decided to be a dictator? None of them decided to stay? Does that tell you something maybe about also our system of government, too? That the Constitutional Republic has guardrails that were built in by the framers of the Constitution to prevent that from happening? I mean, the only person who wouldn't leave was Roosevelt. And eventually he died, but the guy kept running. And he was a Democrat, shocking, but at least he was elected. I'm not accusing him of being a dictator. I mean, I'm sure the people that were put in internment camps felt he was a dictator. But my point is that he was at least duly elected, but he wouldn't leave. He just kept running till he died. And then they eventually put in term limits. But my point is, there's something about our system of government where when you leave, when you lose, you leave. How come nobody has ever in the history of the Republic tried to stay? Trump included. And maybe it says something about our government. Maybe it says something, not our government, but our Constitution and the Republic and the fact that people, the guardrails exist. They're there. The left has no respect for the guardrails. None whatsoever. And they conjure up these fantasies to scare people about Donald Trump. What it does is it undermines, and this is why I'm so angry about this, it really undermines the faith in our constitutional republic. You know what I mean? It undermines our faith in our constitutional republic. Because we have this unique system of government, unlike any other country in the world, where we've had a continuous you realize that our government, I mean, since the founding of the Republic, in what year was the country founded, DeSantis? It was like 1957 or something. What? I forget the year. Do you remember offhand?
I think it was 56. I feel like it ended with a six, right?
Because I know Elvis was around when the Republic was founded. We've had the same continuity of government. We've never had a president stay past his term ended. We've never had a president try to be a dictator. These things have never happened. It's unique in the system. Do you realize that since the founding of the Republic, Italy has gone through no less than, I believe, 358 different governments, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not joking. Italy, really, truly, how many different governments has Italy had since the 1780s or 1790s? If you just see if you can Google that, Matt, I guarantee it's dozens of governments, maybe like 100. They change governments all the time in that country. That's the Italian way. You know what I mean? Just get frustrated with somebody and you have a falling out. It lasts for a long, long time. Let's see. Charlie's on the Schuylkill. Charlie, how are things on the Schuylkill?
Well, they're finally picking up, Rich.
Well, that's good. Glad to hear that.
Yes. It's nice to be on a road that actually moves.
Always. So what's up, my man?
Rich, I know as much as probably anybody you're going to talk to about January 6th. I was there. I was arrested. I went to prison. Here's all you need to know about January 6th.
What were you arrested for? What did you go to prison for?
Basically for trespassing. I was the quintessential political prisoner. I didn't steal anything. I didn't break anything. I didn't hurt anything. I didn't hit anybody. I didn't do any of that.
You didn't punch a cop?
No, I did not.
You didn't do anything like that?
I didn't go inside the Capitol building, no. You know, there were people that did jail time.
I know.
That weren't even there.
I know. No, it's outrageous.
But do you know this one, Rich? Do you know this one? Over 150 people got jail time for trespassing in a public place. You know how many people go to jail for trespassing? Virtually nobody.
Yeah.
Over 150 people did jail time from January 6th, trespassing in a public place.
No.
That shows you right there.
I'm going to just jump in here for a second and say trespassing in the people's house. Because the United States Capitol building is supposed to be the people's house. Like, literally, that's the understanding of it.
Yeah, that's the foe of the whole thing. We pay for that place. I've worked my whole life. I'm 74 years old. I pay taxes. That's my house.
How long were you in prison for, Charlie?
2 years and 8 months.
Are you serious? Oh, my God.
Anytime you want to meet Rich, I'll talk to you one-to-one, and I got plenty of people to back up what I'm going to say.
I believe you. It's infuriating. It really is.
Here's what you need to do. You and your staff need to do this. You need to look up Tucker Carlson. He did an interview in January, this past January, with Clay Higgins.
Yeah, I remember.
Clay Higgins is the... Okay. Do you know what he said? What he concluded?
Go ahead.
He said this, on January 6th in the Capitol building, that day, that morning, before anybody even came there, there were over 200, probably closer to 400 people already in the building dressed as Trump supporters. In other words, they weren't Trump supporters. They were dressed. My job when I was in the Army a long time ago was to study and know all about propaganda. We were definitely set up, infiltrated, and sabotaged that day.
Don't you find it interesting that to this day, Christopher Wray has never answered if there were any federal agents or operatives?
Right.
Isn't that something?
That's right. He won't answer anything about that.
Nor has the Attorney General of the United States. They've never to this day answered those questions.
Bingo
but
again.
Charlie, how were you going to overthrow the government that day? What was your master plan
to overthrow the government? Look, I've been judge of elections 3 times. I've manned the polls for over 10 years. If you go to a person, she has a large blog site. Her name is Mel Hawley. I gave her my testimony from prison and once I got out of prison. Okay, what I personally witnessed on election night and what happened January 6th, I suggest you go listen to it. It's very extensive and it's very thorough.
No, I will. I definitely will. But I just want to know what your secret plan was to overthrow the United States government that day.
There was no secret plan. Well, I was invited by 4 or 5 different groups and individuals. The words that were commonly used were come down for the big celebration, come down for the big party. I thought, hey, they finally got it right. They finally got it right, and Trump is going to be the winner or he is the president. That's why I went down to celebrate.
It's so heartbreaking to hear stories like yours, Charlie. I'm sorry for what you went through, man. I really am. It's heartbreaking.
Well, just tell my story or have me come in sometime. I'm glad and happy to talk. I've already spoken to over 50,000 people.
Good. Well, you know what? Let's set something up, Charlie. Thank you for the call. Shoot me a note, and let's make that happen. I'd love to chat with you more.
That'd
Thank you, Charlie.
Awesome.
Drive safe, bud. Yeah, look, you know, and this is the thing. There was no mechanism to overthrow the United States government on January 6th. Period. There just wasn't. There wasn't. And even under the Electoral Count Act, had Congress rejected the results, like that jackass Jamie Raskin had wanted them to do to Donald Trump in 2017... It still doesn't guarantee Trump's going to be president. It doesn't make him president. My God, how do people not understand this? I know why, because obviously this is propaganda. This is the high holy day of the left, and they have to push this narrative and push this lie. And it's just infuriating. It really is. It's infuriating. And people just don't, I guess, understand how our system of government works. Like if they had, and listen, whoever the jackasses were that put a gallows on the Capitol lawn, that was stupid. They never should have done that. But even if they had hanged Mike Pence, that doesn't make Trump president. Like, do people know that? Like, people understand that, right? There's no clause in the Constitution that if the vice president is hanged on certification day, then he stays president. Like, it's not in the Constitution. It's so idiotic. By the way, you got to say hanged, not hung. I'm hung. Apparently, Arnold Palmer. Sorry. I'm gonna... You still with us, DeSantis?
Unfortunately, yes.
Did you go get an Arnold Palmer? He was hung. Jeffrey Epstein did not hang himself. He was hanged, but not by himself. Arnold Palmer was hung. Apparently, that's how I have to keep the use of those words correct. Am I wrong? Is there a clause in the Constitution that if you hang the vice president, that you become president? Is there something in there about that?
Not that I know of.
You didn't see that in the Constitution?
I can double check, but I'm pretty sure it's not there.
I live in the dumbest time ever. Oh, and you know what? People, I feel like a lot of people owe me an apology on Tulsi Gabbard. Don't you?
What were people saying about Tulsi Gabbard?
Well, let's put it this way. Over time, people have said that they thought maybe she was a wolf in a white pantsuit. And I've always been saying over and over again that Tulsi was the real deal. Right? You should trust her. And she's my buddy, and she's coming to Philly. And am I going to get to hang out with her or not?
We're working on it.
If you can't pull this off, DeSantis, you're even more useless than I thought. I swear to God. If you cannot pull this off, you didn't get her on the show in the first time. The Zioli Army did that. If you cannot get me with Tulsi in Philadelphia when she's going to be here, you're even more useless than I thought you were.
Well, you had her in person at CPAC. I set that up. I didn't get a thank you then.
Please, you did not. AJ set that up for us. Drew.
No. Well, they did help. Yeah, that's. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah, they did. You see, they did help. We'll give them that.
But anyway, I talked to her team last night. It looks promising.
Oh, good. Well, that gives me hope. You want to play Tulsi before I go to break? Or should I come back and play Tulsi?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you should definitely go to break. You should have went to break like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, man, I'm all over the clock today. Thank God Henry's not here. Henry would have walked out in protest.
Yeah, Justin's more laid back.
Justin is laid. He's scared of me still. Give him a little time. He'll understand my bark's bigger than my bite.
You gotta feel the vibes.
We're rolling.
Yeah, you're not going to cut the bit early.
Listen, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? hold November 13th, okay? Mark your calendar for November 13th. It's all I can say at the moment. It's all I can say. But let me tell you about...
We will have Flavor Flav on the 13th. Is that what you said?
I said we're definitely not going to have Flavor Flav, Ice-T, Ice-Q,
LL Cool J.
LL Cool J. None of these people will be with me on November 13th. I won't even drink an Ice-T on November 13th. That's what I'm telling you right now. I am so behind in everything, but let me tell you this. Security and safety is a top priority for every business owner. Look no further than my friend Tom McCausland and McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure your facilities. They'll help you control access. That means a state-of-the-art key card system so you determine who can get where in your facility. And incredible camera systems so that you can keep an eye on everything. You know, a lot of companies can sell you these things, but there's only one Tom McCausland. His wealth of knowledge and experience allows McCausland Lock to effectively protect all types of facilities, no matter what the environment. And just as important, their customer service is unmatched. When you need assistance, you'll talk to a local expert, probably Tom. You'll never get stuck in the voice message morass, the hell system, not knowing what number to push, never. Look, you hear about crime all the time. We talk about it on the show all the time because crime is everywhere these days. So if you're a business owner, you got to make sure your facility is protected. What are you doing? You can't risk this. Reach out to McCausland Lock and Alarm today. They'll secure your facilities, secure what matters, protect your business, and secure your future. 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what else is a really good movie, too? The Exorcist. Did you ever see that?
Oh, yeah. I love The Exorcist.
The original.
The original, yeah.
Yeah, although Exorcist 3 is really good with George C. Scott, but The Exorcist is amazing. It is about my daughter, Reagan. Did you know that?
Wait, the girl's name is Reagan, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, no, it really is crazy. It's wild how much my daughter, Reagan, is like Reagan when she's possessed by the devil in The Exorcist. Uncanny, actually. I got to play Tulsi Gabbard in just a second, but Mike's in Ambler. Mike, what's up? How are you?
Rich, how you doing? Thanks for taking
my
call.
You know what, Mike? I'm frustrated. I'm cranky. I think my blood sugar's low, too. I didn't have lunch or breakfast or anything. But you know what, Mike? My wife's taking me out to dinner tomorrow night. You know why?
Is she taking you down to Hemingway's or what?
I'm not telling you where I'm going, but listen, I don't know where I'm going, but she's taking me out to celebrate my 10 years on the radio here at Talk Radio 1210.
Yeah, congratulations.
Isn't that cool?
It is cool. Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. 10 years. Goes by fast, right? You think I might be good at this in another 10 years?
I've been following you up and down the clock at this station since you started.
What shift should I go to
next? My whole schedule. I think you're on the shift you want to be on at this point.
I agree with you, buddy. Well, thank you for being part of the show. I mean, part of the whole rise and all of it. Thank you. It means a lot, Mike. Really does. Thank you so much.
All right. So, point. That guillotine thing was just nothing but a prop set up
100%.
By like the CIA or the FBI. It was totally bogus. I mean, I have friends who are ATF agents, and they explained to me that you only need a handful of people to basically drive a crowd to do stupid stuff.
Yep.
And those guys are trained to pick those people out and to go right after them to end that. And that could have happened on January 6th, but it didn't happen because they wanted it to happen. And these guys can't talk because of the Hatch Act. You know?
These guys can't talk
because they lose everything.
Yeah, well, and they don't want to admit just how much our government was involved that day in this, like they're involved in so many other ways, because these people want to create chaos so that we can be under their control. Throughout the history of humanity, it's what they've done, you know?
Yep.
But I was just making the point that even if they were to have hanged him, it doesn't make Trump president. Like, it's such a, they always bring up the stupid thing about hanging Mike Pence. Like, it doesn't make Trump president. You know, also, I just wanted to point out that I was hung like Arnold Palmer. Sorry, I'm losing it, Mike. I'm telling you, I'm losing my mind today.
Can I make one last point?
Sure.
So can you please tell DeSanctimonious, if he stops taking my calls still, that I'm going to actually have the staff down there at the Grand short sheet his bed. I'm very good friends with them. We've been there like 20 times.
Good. You know?
So
good.
I'm going to have them sneak in there and short sheet his bed. Double short sheet his bed. All right?
Mike, you got it, yeah. Pal. The warning's been set. And you know what? If he doesn't get Tulsi Gabbard, me and Tulsi together this weekend, then you have them also do that to his bed, okay?
Yeah, wait. I want to go surfing with Tulsi. Tell her I'll go surf. I'll take her out surfing down the shore.
Yeah, I'm not doing
that. Right?
Just
so you know.
Mike, you know I'm not doing that, right?
All right. Well, no, not you, me.
No, I mean, I'm not telling her you want to go surfing with her. Hey, Tulsi, right. Mike and Ambler wants to go surfing with you. I can't. Right. How do you even broach that subject, you know?
It's worth a try.
All right, pal. Thank you for the call, Mike.
I've been married 40-some years. So, all right, so I'll see you on the 20th of December down at the Grand, Chief.
Good. I look forward to it, buddy. Thank you so much. 855-839-1210 is the number. All right, without further ado, since I've been setting it up for the last 3 hours, here's Tulsi Gabbard last night saying she's joining the Republican Party at a Trump rally in North Carolina. Cut number one.
And it is because of my love for our country, and specifically because of the leadership that President Trump has brought to transform the Republican Party and bring it back to the party of the people and the party of peace, that I'm proud to stand here with you today, President Trump, and announce that I'm joining the Republican Party. People, the party of equality, the party that was founded to fight against and end slavery in this country. It is the party of common sense and the party that is led by a president who has the courage and strength to fight for peace.
Good for her. Good for her. This is the Big Story of the Hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. And mark down November 9th for his Veterans Breakfast and free community shredding center shredding event at his office in Cinnaminson, New Jersey. Here's an MSNBC segment with Philly voters Alex Wagner. Alex Wagner talking to voters on MSNBC, including a Philadelphia-based Trump supporter named Crystal Candy, Justice Felix, and Dr. Alfie Goodman, cut number five.
What are your feelings, and let me start with the women here, about Kamala Harris?
She's a woman of color. I'm not putting her down because of that, and I'm not putting her down because she's a woman. I'm not a feminist, so I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, I don't think that she has the personality. I don't think that she has what it takes to go up against Putin and go up against these other presidents that are built for this. I don't want to be scared because my president is scared. I want my president to feel secure and manly about it.
We brought up gender, right? Like, do you think it matters that she's a woman and people aren't comfortable having a woman in a top leadership role?
No, I don't think that, because most men, they love their mothers. They love their wives. So as a woman, most men, they respect the woman, but she just don't have the qualification or the education to really run America because she don't have the experience. She don't understand our struggles. Mm. And for me to believe you for another 4 years, you're crazy.
Right.
Like, you're crazy. You're saying the same thing that you said 4 years ago.
So the fact that she's the vice president,
that's
to you,
the bottom line.
You're like, you've been here, you've had a chance.
Yes. Well, for me, the very first time I ever heard the name Kamala Harris, it was in association to locking up parents for a truancy. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I ever heard of her name. And I really didn't understand how this person claims to be a black woman, but yet she's locking up black women and black men and separating families.
This is a thing that is, Trump talks about this a lot. He says, you know, Kamala Harris became black when it was convenient.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about, do you agree with him on that? Do you feel like she's wearing her blackness?
Absolutely. When she sworn into the Senate, it was as the first Indian American.
Thank you.
Which is, it's fine. We don't care. Yeah.
We all know she's not black. Let's understand that. We are all clear of that. But my point of view is, like I told you earlier. place. She's already been there. She's in office right now.
There you go. Boom. Good stuff. Good stuff right there. Do I have to break, Matt? Can I play one more or no? Can I squeeze in one more?
No, we got to break.
We got a lot. We got a lot more. Kirk, you had all this great video to dish up, and I went on my tirades and ate up the clock. So we'll have to save some stuff for tomorrow. Look at that. All right. Thank you for streaming along with us on YouTube. We appreciate it. But we got our fourth and final hour coming up. I got a ton of audio to catch up with you and breaking news all around. Is there going to be another October surprise about Donald Trump? That's the other rumor going around today. We'll address that. Don't go away. And Garden State Earthworks is going to help you when it comes to your backyard. Because, look, the bottom line is this. With winter here, you got to make sure that whatever water is in your yard, you got to make sure that that water does not freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw, because it's going to cause you lots and lots of problems. That's why you got to reach out to my buddy Lou Vargo at Garden State Earthworks, GardenStateEarthworks.com. Lou's a great guy, great friend of the show, and he's going to do for you what he did for me, which is to solve your wet basement problem or wherever water is in your backyard. Soggy backyard, standing water, these are all problems. Reach out to Lou right now, 856-848-4444, 856-848-4444, or go to GardenStateEarthworks.com. He's incredibly busy this time of year because he's the best at what he does. But if you call him, he'll make you a priority. 856-848-4444 or GardenStateEarthworks.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.